From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, along with executive producer Jason Becknell. A very special show today as we profile Leadership DeKalb and some very special guests with us. Before we get to that, I want to remind you that we are on social media. Follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. We're on Facebook as well. Of course, you can listen live each week, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. It's a free download, the podcast is, on that website or on iTunes as well. And I want to remind you, this edition of DeKalb Business Today is sponsored by the Brunellis Insurance Agency, an affiliate of Farmers Insurance. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967, or just go to our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com, and click on the link. All right, so probably a month ago, we had a show with a couple graduates of Leadership DeKalb, and they were so effusive of their praise of the program and said, we got to have them on, we got to profile it. So lo and behold, that's exactly what we're doing today. And want to welcome Maria Belias. She is the executive director of Leadership DeKalb, and Chris Chavez, the board chair. He's also the president of DeVry University. Welcome to you both.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Matt.
So let's start off with you, Maria. Tell us about how you came to get involved with Leadership DeKalb.
Well, 2.5 years ago, I was tapped by the then chairman of the board, Arnie Silverman, who is extremely involved in DeKalb County. He's been chairman of the board at the DeKalb Chamber of Commerce and is currently a member of their board. Arnie came to me and he said, you know, we are at a point as an organization where we would like to take our program to the next level. And so I have enjoyed my experience with Leadership DeKalb for the past 2.5 years. It has afforded me the opportunity to be innovative, particularly with some of the program days, which we can talk about,
absolutely,
I suppose, in just a few minutes. But that's a little bit of my history for how I came to Leadership DeKalb. And of course, I feel an affinity and a great joy for working in DeKalb. I'm a graduate of Agnes Scott College.
There you go. So you're a long time.
Yes. Hot skip and a jump away from our office in downtown Decatur.
What was your background that got them interested in you leading Leadership DeKalb?
I've been a community relations person for almost 20 years in Atlanta. I've managed corporate foundations. I've worked in the nonprofit sector, and I've even worked in government. And what I have found is that each one of those experiences has really contributed to my current role as executive director at Leadership DeKalb.
You're the executive director, and as we transition to our second guest, how important is it to have a strong board and active board members around you at Leadership DeKalb?
I'm so glad you asked about the board of directors. The way I approach my relationship with the board, I engage them in every possible way. As an administrator, I'm very transparent with the board about the program, because at the end of the day, they're the owners of this program.
So Chris Chavez, you're the board chair. You're also the president of DeVry University. How did you come to get involved with Leadership DeKalb?
So years ago, about 7 years ago, I was speaking at the Rotary Club on behalf of DeVry University about what we do here in Atlanta. And several people came up to me and suggested I should get into Leadership DeKalb. And as the years went on, as I met more people, I didn't do it right away, but as the years went on, people would say, you got to go Leadership DeKalb. So I found it in 2013, I found it a good reason to join. I had the time, and it was at a point where I needed to expand my network, and Leadership DeKalb was the way to do it here in DeKalb County.
So what are your responsibilities as the chair of the board?
So the chair of the board is having Maria handle us as the board, me handling the board, I suppose, and just basically helping Maria and the team set the direction for Leadership DeKalb operationally and strategically.
How active is it? I mean, forgive me for asking, is it a rubber stamp? Are you guys actively looking at different ways, different ideas, coming up with your own ideas?
As far as Leadership DeKalb, so I think a couple things need to be separated. So there's the actual program or the contact, the program days or the content. That's run by committees, and Maria will tell us well about that. There's raising money in the operations of the Leadership DeKalb. So nothing's rubber stamped, but Maria does a very good job keeping the executive committee and the board well aware of what's going on with Leadership DeKalb.
So Maria, let's back up a little bit. Tell us exactly about the program. What is Leadership DeKalb? How many people have been through it? What are they getting out of it?
Well, it's a 10-month curriculum with an opening retreat at the beginning and a closing retreat program at the end. We have the largest class this year for Leadership DeKalb. We have 60 people.
Wow.
so big I've had to get two buses to accommodate them. But we've got program days that cover topics such as integrity and ethics, diversity and inclusion, justice, healthcare, education, and economic development and government.
So what does it take to have the biggest class? Was it just that you had a bigger applicant pool? Is that something that's growing every year? What did you have to do to accommodate more people?
Yes, it is that. It is a bigger applicant pool, but more importantly, it's really word of mouth. In the community in DeKalb County, leaders network with one another. Mm-hmm. They connect. They work together on different projects. As Chris said to you, when he was at the Rotary Club, somebody went up to him and said, hey, you should do this program. And frankly, what happens too is that alumni share their personal experience and they share anecdotes about what they went through with the program. And then from there, you realize each individual class member has a particular perspective about the program. Some days are better than others for them. There are people who find themselves gravitating to the subject matter of education, for example, even though that's not their area of expertise. But it has broadened their perspective, it has broadened their mind, and they realize, wait a minute, all of these subject matters really contribute to a viable, economically viable DeKalb County.
And Chris, I think you can attest to it, whether it's Leadership DeKalb, whether it's DeVry, whatever it is, people aren't going to pass on word of mouth and encourage people if it was a bad experience.
Yeah, Matt, I would add it's the reputation, right? So from a good experience that our members have, it's the reputation that we develop from that. And I would also add, since Maria's come on the team here, the program has improved, the content of the program, the strength of the organization has improved, and I think that is just starting to put momentum into Leadership DeKalb, hence why we have the largest class that we've ever had.
So who do we have in this largest class? What kind of industries are represented? What kinds of, I was looking at the list earlier, it is incredibly diverse when you talk about the different types of jobs, the different positions that people are in.
Is that for me, Matt?
Absolutely.
Okay. Typically, what we have in the class is, I would say, about a third of the people come from government, a third of the people come from business, and the other third come from community leaders. And we also bring in emerging leaders because they come for the development, the leadership development skills, and they come for some mentoring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing I would like to say regarding that is that these are established leaders in the community, and they are coming to Leadership DeKalb to hone their leadership, to enhance their current established experience as leaders. Because like I said, it gives them a perspective about different systems, different areas of DeKalb County, which they would otherwise not be exposed to.
So when we had our guests on about a month ago at Mandy Pillow, shout out to Judge Angela, and they're talking about all these things, and the curriculum you mentioned, they weren't talking about sitting in a classroom for 2 hours. They're talking about field trips and kind of fun-sounding things. Talk a little bit about the experiences and the interactions that the students get.
Well, we call them participants.
I was going to ask, yeah, you don't call them students. Okay.
Yeah, we call them students at DeVry.
But one of the things we do with participants is that we literally put them on a bus and we take them to different areas of DeKalb County. Many of them, for example, have never been to Arabia Mountain, mm-hmm. which is such an environmental asset to DeKalb County. The other thing is that, believe it or not, there are people who have never been to the state capitol. So on government day, they get two enlightening experiences. Some of them experience MARTA for the mm-hmm. first time, and they experience the state capitol a second time. Now, one of the things that we have done in the last couple of years is add a new program to the program. In the past, classes got involved with community service as a group. And 2 years ago, I had the thought that perhaps we should leverage the current talents of the participants in the class and engage the nonprofit community with the current class. So we implemented what we call the Community Service Projects, our acronym, because you know everyone has an acronym.
Of course.
We call it CSP. And we do an RFP process for the nonprofit community. And it's really a request for a project team that will provide them with 35 hours of consulting time. So we take the class participants, we divide them into groups of 7 to 10 people, and they work on a particular project with that nonprofit the entire time that they're part of the program. So for 10 months, they're deeply engaged with these nonprofit organizations. And some of the results that we have seen is that that experience has become, has become a pipeline for leadership roles with these nonprofit organizations. We've had graduates who've gone on to the board of directors for these nonprofit organizations, which further supports our platform as a leadership organization where we make connections in the community.
That's awesome. You're listening to DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes joined by Maria Belias. She's the Executive Director of Leadership DeKalb. Chris Chavez, he's the Board Chair for Leadership DeKalb and the President of DeVry University. For both of you, how are you engaging the business community in this?
Is that for me too, Matt?
Either one, yeah.
Again, I suppose it is word of mouth, but ultimately, people who care about DeKalb County don't necessarily have to live in DeKalb County. Oftentimes, they're doing business in DeKalb. And so once again, it goes back to the notion that it enhances their relationship and their experience in DeKalb. The more they know about this county, the more fluent they are in the language of this community in DeKalb County.
Right. I also add, you know, the awareness of the community and then the networking that happens within the program and the class year. And it's very important. So if you're a part of the business community, you're going to get access to educational leaders, government leaders, politicians, judges, right, lawyers, and of course other business, people in the business community. So it's a great networking opportunity.
So what's the age range? We talked about some of the background, some of the industries these people are in. What's the age range? Is there too young? Is there too old?
Absolutely not. The youngest person in our class right now is 29 years old, and last year, I'm not going to say the oldest.
You don't have to say who it is, but you can give
a
ballpark.
But the most senior member of the class of 2015 was over 70 years old.
Wow.
Yes. And she decided to participate in Leadership DeKalb because, one, she's already very involved. If you looked at her community resume, you would find that she's done everything from serving on the board of trustees for Agnes Scott College. She's very involved in her synagogue, but she wanted to learn even more about her community because her philosophy was that you never stop learning. And so we were very proud to be a part of that journey for her.
That's pretty cool because there has to be an element. Obviously, there's a networking element with Leadership DeKalb, but there's a big education element. And there has to be a point where these people, these professionals who probably have good confidence, they know a lot of stuff, they humble themselves to admit, maybe I can be a better leader. Maybe I can learn a little bit. Is that something of what you see?
Oh, absolutely. I actually would like to turn that over to Chris because he has that perspective about how it enhanced his ability to be a leader. You mind taking a moment for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think since everyone in the class is some type of leader, right, and we didn't get to these positions of leadership without having a lot of, you know, humbleness and hubris, right? So that skill of being a lifelong learner and always learning from people, so different experiences, I always look at it this way. Anytime you can have an experience where you can learn something from it, that just adds to that kind of body of knowledge of you as a leader and as a person. So for myself, you know, accomplished in the education side, accomplished in, you know, my business and in running DeVry University. But what I didn't have is I didn't have a lot of that, the DeKalb County, the network. I didn't understand how the county works, didn't understand all the resources about the county. So those experiences and the exposure that that I was given through Leadership DeKalb just enhances me as a leader. So I have other experiences and other things to kind of tap into and other things to allow me to make better decisions, allow me to have a network where I can tap into and get support when I need it. So it's a very, very strong program.
We're talking about Leadership DeKalb here on DeKalb Business Today. As we're doing this interview, if you want to check out and find out more information, they are on Twitter at Leaders of DeKalb, on Instagram at Leaders of DeKalb, and of course Facebook, facebook.com/LeadershipDeKalb. Maria, I think one of the first topics that you brought up when you were talking about the different subject matter that your participants learn about in Leadership DeKalb was integrity and ethics in DeKalb County. Obviously, past few years, that's been big in the headlines, the lack thereof of integrity and ethics. Is that a big part of what you guys are talking about, kind of learning from what's in the headlines?
Absolutely. It was a timely subject matter to bring it on board for the program. But I will say this. When we're in that program day, we don't talk about the headlines. We don't talk about DeKalb County. We have a very forward-thinking way of approaching that program. And our perspective, actually, it's more the committee's perspective, is not to talk about the implementation necessarily of integrity and ethics. That comes naturally when we are in the process of the program. Where they come from as a committee is defining integrity and defining ethics. And believe it or not, they are not necessarily the same thing. But as subjects, they support one another. So integrity is character. Mm-hmm. Integrity is belief. Ethics is policy and procedures that support that belief. And that's part of the learning in that program day.
So give us an example. Who would lead a class like that? What kinds of people are you bringing in to talk to the participants?
Oh, we bring in speakers from all over the county. The committee members who produce that program day are also very involved in the process. So, for example, Sean McIntosh, who is a managing editor at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, mm-hmm. and at the AJC, you know, integrity and ethics is actually a platform for them, along with diversity. Sean is a graduate of 2013, and what she brought to the table was group work, where she provided them with up to 25 ethical scenarios that are in the gray area so that class members can experience what it's like to make a decision about, well, you know, this could be ethical or this couldn't be ethical. How do we separate the two? How do we define that?
It's stuff you're absolutely going to see in the business world.
Not just in business, but all over the place. Ethical questions occur in every aspect of your life. And in business, yes, that certainly comes up. And as leaders, they have to be able to make informed decisions and refer back to their experience on that program day so that they make choices, they make decisions that are a reflection of their style in leadership.
Chris, speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, and Matt, and what we do in that program day is we put the leaders into an uncomfortable situation where they're forced to make decisions and tap into their own values and their own belief system there. And I look at it, it might be uncomfortable, but it's a safe place, right? Mm-hmm. So when you actually get out into the business world, when you're actually dealing with a specific ethical issue, you could at least go back and say that I had that experience. I've been through this process of how to maybe look at a problem, how to kind of tap into my own value system and my own beliefs and how to address it. So I think it's a very powerful tool, and it's active. It's real. It's making things happen versus just sitting in like a lecture style and having someone tell you what ethics is or tell you what integrity is. You're kind of living through it in a safe environment.
So you've got the current class enrolled right now. You'll be taking applications in the coming months for next year's class. Is it identical, the program framework, the program days from year to year? Are you constantly changing it up with different speakers and different activities? How does that work?
That's a great question. The program's overall infrastructure is the same mm-hmm. every year. The content is brought to relevance by the committee members. So, yes, we're reading headlines. We are taking the temperature of the community. And the program committee members for each day get together and they look at the agenda from previous years, and whatever is actually going on in the community, they will infuse some of the content into that program day. Most importantly, we evaluate the previous class. Every single program day has an electronic evaluation the very next day. And we read every single word in their comments, and we look for common themes. And we look for areas that we can tweak and make better, but we also look for what we have done well. And so the committees have data to respond to from the previous class.
Chris, are there specific program days that are so enlightening, fun, successful, whatever, that you do just carry that on from year to year because it was such a success?
Yeah, I think Government Day is one. Maria mentioned it earlier. So many in the class that you see, if you're not an attorney or not involved in the lobbying business, right, you may not know exactly how government works, right? You may not exactly know how the state house works. And so I thought that was quite enlightening for myself personally, and then for other members in our class when we went down there. And then the juxtaposition between state government, county government, and then in 2013, when I went through the program, we went to the city of Decatur. And, just the differences of how different levels of government work, from the state to the county to the municipalities, there's different nuances to how one governs in, their areas.
It's such a big and diverse county, Chris. I mean, you're talking about Dunwoody and Decatur and Tucker and Stone Mountain, Lithonia. It's a huge county. Is it a challenge to get everything represented in so far as the geography of the county?
Yeah, absolutely. Geographically, it's tough to cover all parts of the county because, you spend part of your day on the bus, and the last thing you want to be doing is driving from north to south all day long. and in general, I'll give you another example outside of geography, but the content, right, of the day and the experiences. So I recall last year when we did Education Day, we did a really good job with the county. We covered the elementary schools, the high schools, and we even talked about how business interacts or business supports our local education, right? So it was a nice little topic. But what we didn't include was higher education, and we left that on the cutting room floor almost on purpose because we wanted to cover some other things. But in the evaluations that Maria was talking about, we got feedback, well, hey, what about higher ed? We wanted to learn about higher ed. So you can see there's so much content. It's so rich with information and material. The program teams and committees have to have to make those decisions. Okay, what's relevant at the time? What is going to have the biggest impact? And what do we think the class would want? But I just want to go back to those evaluations for a second. I think that you talk about a business best practice.
Yeah.
That is a best practice that any organization should do, and the way it's done with Leadership DeKalb, it's just rich with content, right? It's just a golden, and it's just a gift, I believe, to get that type of evaluation back. And like Maria said, we do read through every single comment.
Well, and I'll tell you this, not to cut you off, but it's interesting to me that you do it after every single program day. I think a lot of programs, a lot of colleges maybe would do an evaluation at the end of the semester, at the end of the year, and maybe you're not getting quite so much detail from the people when it's fresh in their minds.
Exactly. We want it to be fresh. And I'd like to take a moment to do a shout out because John Turner, who is the graduate of 2013, has a company called Turner Research Network. And developing the evaluations and actually executing the evaluations was his way of giving back to Leadership DeKalb, because he was one of those people that were very inspired about how he can contribute back to DeKalb County. Do you mind if I take a moment to talk about one other program?
We got all the time in the world.
So again, I talked about the Community Service Project, which goes above and beyond our core program. One other thing that we are doing in partnership with Georgia Power, and more importantly, with Decide DeKalb. Do you know what Decide DeKalb is?
We sure do, yeah.
Okay,
we're going to have Ray Gelly on in a couple weeks.
Well, Ray is in the class of 2016.
Okay.
We're going to get you in, Matt.
We'd love to do it.
Probably
we'll talk
next
about
year.
That, yeah.
But this partnership with Decide DeKalb, we call it the Economic Development Fellows Program. So, again, back to what I said earlier about creating a pipeline of human capital for leadership roles in DeKalb County. This is one of those pipelines that we created for our alumni. Decide DeKalb needs members of DeKalb County to talk about economic development, to help enhance those conversations with various industries. And these fellows will also go on recruitment calls for Decide DeKalb. They will be ambassadors of DeKalb County, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the program will literally educate them on what economic development means. And not as buzzwords, but actual knowledge about how and what it takes for economic development. It's a deeper dig into the subject matter. So at the end of the day, they will somewhat be experts.
That's awesome. Maria Belias and Chris Chavez from Leadership DeKalb, our guests here on DeKalb Business Today. We've gotten into a lot of the details of the program. One thing we haven't talked about, how do people apply? When do the applications start for next year's class, Maria?
Nominations. If you know an alum, and believe it or not, they're all over the place. Leadership DeKalb is kind of a cult, as you may have figured out. Just walk up to an alum. They will talk about being a graduate of Leadership DeKalb, and they will always say that they're the best class ever.
They do that. Yeah, I noticed.
Yes, they do that. And so just ask to be nominated, or you can self-nominate. And we begin taking applications between January and the end of March. We do two open houses, one in February and one in March, where candidates have the opportunity to meet alumni and to learn a little bit more about the different perspectives based on their experience with the program.
Does the program operate on a typical school year calendar? Starts in August, starts in September, and then goes around?
Orientation is in August. Okay. Opening retreat weekend is in September. And then there's a program day, the third Thursday of every single month after that. Closing retreat is in June.
So talk to me about the time commitment, because that's got to be a big question that anybody who's potentially looking at jumping in to this, Chris, what kind of time commitment? She mentions the third Thursday of every month.
Right. As a leader, you have to commit that time to that third Thursday of the month. So we have some disciplines in place to make sure that that leaders do show up, right? We want to hold ourselves accountable for being there. So Maria does a very good job in setting the expectation. And we've heard her say often that, you know, with the class, you're all leaders. You're all very important, right? You all have something else going on. There's always something at your companies or at your business. But when you're here with us, you need to be in the moment. You need to take that time. You know, if something really is on fire, you can, but you have to be accountable to the class. And the way Maria holds the class accountable is just the jar, if you want to talk about your jar a bit.
Well, this sounds interesting.
It is silly, actually, but it is our way of holding each other accountable. It is a smiley face jar. If you are late, for every 15 minutes, it's a dollar in the jar.
Okay.
So if you're late for 2 hours, that's $8. And at the end of the program year, we collect that money and we do a lottery for a nonprofit organization or a charity that would receive that money. It's kind of interesting, right? Because you want as few dollars in that jar as possible,
right?
Because then it's a good attendance. But, you know, we also want it to go to a good cause. And we celebrate the fact that these class members have held each other accountable.
It's 2015. I haven't been in a college classroom in more than a decade. Now, Chris, you could probably speak a little bit to it. But in 2015, I would imagine you have a group full of people in a classroom setting or a learning environment. You got Blackberries, you've got phones, you've got tablets, and people messing around or doing work or whatever it might be. How do you combat that when you're doing Leadership DeKalb?
I mean, it's like in any business meeting you've ever been, it's kind of the culture, the expectations of what is set, right? So if you see your leader, if your boss or your president or CEO of your company, and he's fiddling around or she's fiddling around on her tablet or something, that almost says it's okay for everyone else to, and you see that happening, right? Or conversely, if you have a group of people on your team and they're fiddling, that leader can say, you know, no, you know, in this meeting, we're going to disconnect. And Maria, as the executive director and the leader, essentially the leader of the class program year every year, she sets those expectations. You know, put your phone down. You don't need it. If you do need to check something, there's some breaks. And if you do need to handle something, there's a mechanism, the smiley face jar, for you to step out for that half hour, hour. They're not saying you can't, because you are important,
sure.
Right? You have to take care of what you have to take care of. But this is a way for you to kind of not get lazy with it, or not take advantage of a situation. Because I think sometimes as leaders, you've seen, you're on that pedestal, you're in charge, you're the guy, right? You're in charge of your business. And a lot of times you get to do what you want to do, right? Because you're in charge. You work your way out. You work your way up there. And sometimes that bleeds over in other areas of your life, right? So in Leadership DeKalb, what's happening, she's setting a structure that people can work within. And I think it's a great mechanism for keeping everyone accountable.
And if you have guest speakers and everything else, there's a level of respect, I guess, that you do not want to have people with their phones out and not paying attention. So So that's a good thing.
Yeah, we see it all the time. Not in Leadership DeKalb, but you see it, you know, in your everyday life of just people not being aware, not having that self-awareness that there's something else going on around you, that maybe we should be respectful of each other.
Now, Maria, I'm sure there's a cost associated with it for the participants. Have you seen situations where a company will step up and cover their employees' enrollment fee or whatever it might be into Leadership DeKalb?
Oh, yes. That happens quite often, because companies also view this program as a leadership development program for their executives. And so they are willing to put the dollars behind that participation. Now, we do have members of the class that don't have that $3,200 at their disposal. So we implemented a scholarship program where we give up to $1,500 for a participant. And then they either personally raise the rest of that money or they contribute from their own pockets. But we also have a partnership with the community, the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. If you're familiar with this organization, they have scholarship dollars that they will give to individuals who are seeking programs like Leadership DeKalb. So we have a participant right now in the class of 2016 where she is receiving the $1,500 scholarship from Leadership DeKalb. Her own nonprofit organization is putting up, I think, $1,000, and the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta is putting up the rest of the tuition. So she has this opportunity to experience this program, and there are three organizations that are backing her up.
And the importance of the scholarships is we want to make sure that the nonprofit community is represented in Leadership DeKalb, because I know when you talk about business, a lot of times the nonprofit community gets left off to the side, right? So if you're in the business and your company can pay your tuition, you know, real easy for you to go. But if you're if you're in civic engagement, if you're in a nonprofit, you know, it's not as easy to get a hold of those dollars coming out of a nonprofit. So this is a way to make sure that we have nonprofit members in every single class every year.
As we wrap up with Maria Belias and Chris Chavez from Leadership DeKalb, we've talked a little bit about the past of the program. We've talked a lot about what's going on right now. How about the future? Maria, where are you taking it?
Well, I should mention that Leadership DeKalb has been around for a long time. Next year, we celebrate our 30th anniversary of existence. Yes, we're very proud of that. As we round the corner of our past experiences with the program, our future really is about further connecting this community through the CORE program. And we convene people through this program that normally would not find each other. And we create that peer-to-peer relationship that will make DeKalb County stronger.
And from a board perspective, we want to be more inclusive, right? I mentioned the nonprofit community, but north and south, right? So as we see the municipalities coming on in DeKalb County, there could be the possibility of more fragmentation through the county. So I think the Leadership DeKalb allows really us to cover from north to south and provide a safe place for all these different municipalities, these different business organization or chamber organizations to come together in one total DeKalb organization.
Chris Chavez, the board chair of Leadership DeKalb. He's also the president of DeVry University. And Chris, we'll have to have you back another time to talk about your role with DeVry. But before we let you go, give us a little bit about what you do with DeVry.
At DeVry, I'm the Metro President of DeVry University, so I'm responsible for our five Atlanta-based locations and our online students here in the Atlanta Metro. We have about 2,500 students in the Atlanta area at our locations here. And it's basically an administrator. Just if you're running a elementary school, a high school, or a college, it's pretty much similar. You know, professors, students, and just keeping different constituencies happy.
What kinds of industries are your students, your graduates going out into?
Yeah, we have three main areas of focus, and that is business, healthcare, and engineering. So we produce a lot of accountants. We have networking and engineering programs, and then in the healthcare, an associate's in health information technology, which is basically medical billing coding.
We talked about Leadership DeKalb being a lot of word of mouth to get it around. How do you spread the word about DeVry?
Well, thankfully, DeVry has advertising dollars. We're on radio, TV, cable, digital media, so that helps. But what I think is most important is we talked about reputation. It's the reputation, how well we do with our students and the outcomes of our students and what types of jobs they get and where they're working at and the salaries they make. So just like as we said, as the Leadership DeKalb graduates, our graduates are our best sales tool, and that word of mouth does more. And we have, DeVry University has a very strong reputation here in Atlanta and Georgia.
What a great conversation, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Maria Belias, the Director of Leadership DeKalb, Executive Director of Leadership DeKalb, and Chris Chavez, the Board Chair of Leadership DeKalb, the President of DeVry University. If you want to find out more about Leadership DeKalb, they're on Twitter, on Instagram, at Leaders of DeKalb, Facebook.com/Leadership DeKalb. For more information there, you can follow Maria on Twitter, at Maria_Belias, B-A-L-A-I-S. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank
you, Matt. Absolutely. We'll be back here today at noon for another great edition of DeKalb Business Today. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time here on DeKalb Business Today.